We're doing the Doshot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Yud Tet in the Machon Shalem edition, page Resh Ayin He in the Mosada of Cook edition. And Aran had raised the question. He said, we're saying here that Yiras Shemayim is the foundation of Torah, and we have many supports for that. And on the other hand, the Talmud tells us in Sota, an indication that seems the other way. We have a quote, the Gemara says over there, there are seven types of fakers, seven types of people who seem pious and they're faking it. And we went through the seven examples. One was like the people of Shechem who circumcised and they didn't do it for the sake of heaven. Then you have the person who walks around like he's so humble, he keeps his feet together until he bumps into everything and that's a faker. A third one was a guy who bumps into the walls because he can't look at any women, so he's always bleeding because he can't see what's going on in the world. That's a third type of faker. A fourth faker is a person who walks and his head is so stooped as though he's carrying a weight on his head because he's so humble. Again, another faker. A fifth type is the guy who says, tell me what I got to do and I'll do it. As if he's saying, you know, I did everything I possibly could do till here. So that's a fifth type of faker. Sixth is he who says, I'm so, he does it out of the love of Hashem. And the seventh is the one who does it out of the fear of Hashem. So we just said fear of Hashem is so pivotal, so important. And yet that's one of the fakers. That's one of the people where the Talmud says he doesn't live up to par. V'amu shamod, the Talmud says over there further, Amar le Rabbanan or Amar le Abai v'Rava, different versions here. Letana, they said to the guy who was quoting this verse, Lo titni parush mavapush meira. They told him, no. Two fakers you got to omit from your list. If he does it out of love, if he does it out of fear, that's not a faker like the rest. Not because he's perfect, but because Rav Yehuda taught in the name of Rav, a person should always deal in Torah and mitzvot, even if he's not doing it for the perfect reasons. Because you start off doing what's right, even if it's for the wrong reasons, ultimately you'll do it for the right reasons. Now, לא חלקו עליו, אלא שאינו ראוי למנותו עם אלו שהם רשעים באמת. So, Abaye and Rava didn't say, you know, a person who does it because he's a God-fearing person, he's perfect. They just said, you can't equate him with these other people who are wicked and fakers. אבל מכל מקום אין עבודתו אלא שלא נשמע. But nonetheless, you see that they said, a person who serves Hashem because he fears Hashem, that's also called שלא נשמע. They just said, that's not so bad, because eventually he'll outgrow it. But you see, he needs to outgrow it. And if you look later on in Tractate Sota itself, it tells us the following. Two students were sitting in front of Rava. One said to Rava, in my dream, they read me the following verse. What greatness you have hidden for those that fear you, that you've made for those that take coverage in you, opposite men. Another student said, he said, in my dream, I heard the other verse. Those who take coverage in you should always be happy, they should always give song. Amar lehu, when Rava heard that, he said to the two students, "Tavaychu tzadiki gmureyatun. You are both whole tzadikim. If those are the verses you each got in your dreams, you're both perfect, only you have two different directions in your service of Hashem. One of you is doing it from the fear of Hashem, the other one is doing it from the love of Hashem. So the first one that has the dream, Marav tucha shel tzafanta lirei'echa, how much greatness you have for those that fear you. So he obviously was serving Hashem out of fear. The second one who heard in the dream the verse, those who take coverage in you will always be happy. So he's serving Hashem out of love. That's v'yismichu. They will be happy. What's the conclusion of the verse? V'yaltzu v'cha ohavei shemecha. Those that love your name will rejoice, will dance with you. So what's going on here? So that seems to make a question on the first quote. Rava's calling him a complete tzaddik, and we just saw that he's considered one of the seven fakers. And even according to the final version of the Talmud still says, okay, he's not perfect, but he'll outgrow it. He'll do it with improper intent. He only does it because he fears God, but eventually he'll get it right. Rava said he's a complete tzaddik. So which one is it? Is he a complete tzaddik, or is he someone who we say still has hope? Don't call him wicked. So the Ran says the answer to all of these questions, there are two types of people who serve Hashem out of fear of Him. One type of person, you have a person who serves Hashem because he wants wages. He says, God, I put on tefillin today. I shouldn't have indigestion. Now I should get the world to come. He wants all kinds of goodies in this world. And he's scared. Hashem's going to punish him in this world if he sins. He's scared what's going to happen to his kids. What's going to happen to his money. All kinds of bad things could happen. So he serves Hashem and he does it because he's scared. Bottom line, all his service, all his mitzvos, anytime he stays away from sin, that's because he's serving himself. He's trying to find a way to appease the gods. Be God. But he's not really serving God. And that's what the Braisa means when he's one of the seven fakers. So that's why the Braisa says, yeah, he's doing it, but he's serving himself. Like the Gemara's conclusion, at the end of the day, he's not doing it for the sake of heaven. So he's doing mitzvos, and eventually he'll outgrow it, but it's not perfect. So that's type one of a person who does it out of fear of heaven. He walks in constant fear. He wants to have the good life or not to have such a bad life. So that's one type of God-fearing person where we say, it's not the end of the world. He'll outgrow it with time, but he has to outgrow it. It's not the ideal way. The second type of God-fearing person, that one's soul remembers, is conscious of how great, how exalted, how mighty, how awesome God is. And that's something that's a part of who He is. And then they come to play. This recognition affects everything he does. It's a consistent part of his life. It is engraved. It is encased in his heart. And then the soul acts in awe. And one is constantly acting out of a certain respect, a certain humility, because there's a recognition that God's in the room. How could you talk that way? V'yeh davar nimna lanefesh la'avor et pi Hashem. And then one soul has a hard time transgressing. It seems like an impossibility. You're going to go against God. Kasher yira ha'eved et rabo v'aben et aviv gam ki yivada elav shelo yegenu nezek v'bitul mitzvato. Like a servant has fear of the master or the son of the parent, even though he knows that if he doesn't do what the parent said, he's not going to beat him up. You know, you're not going to listen to him. It's not the end of the world, but still, there's a certain respect that's there.
He doesn't want a disappointment.
It could be disappointing. It could be also, once there's an appreciation, once there's a relationship of appreciation, so then it's not only you don't want to disappoint him, it's also you want to live up to what he wants of you. וכבר הזכיר איוב בפסוק אחד משבח את עצמו שכבר השיג אלו המעלות. And Job, when he speaks about himself, he says he attained this level. אמר, איוב says, כי פחד אליי עד אל ומסתו לא אוכל. So איוב describes how he himself, firstly, I was scared of Hashem because I was scared of aid. Kel, I was scared of God's destroying me. So Eov says, first of all, I was fearful for that. And secondly, I reached a point umasolu uchal, where I made his recognition a part of me, and then I couldn't transgress what he says. So the second type of respect, this second type of awe, that's what the Talmud means is the foundation of everything. And that's what the Talmud says in Sota, that Rava said to the two students, you are both complete tzaddikim. One of you does it from fear, and one of you does it for love. And about that, God says, remember when the Jewish people came to Moshe and they said, we can't handle this. God's talking to us directly. It's beyond us. So God says, I wish they will be able to maintain that awe forever. What does that mean? God isn't talking about fearing punishment or loving wages. Rather, that they should engrave it in their hearts, instill it in their hearts, that God is exalted and they should have that awe. And then they'll fulfill the mitzvot as the essence of their life. And it's interesting. God uses a term that seems very ungodly. God says, "Migitain, I wish." That's not a word that we would attribute to God. Even though technically Hashem doesn't benefit or get hurt by what we do. Nonetheless, he wants us to be righteous. As the Talmud says in Tractate Avodah Zarah, Tanu Rabbanan, Im bechuktai telechu en im el haloshon tachnunim. God says, if you go in the way of my statutes. So the Talmud says the word if, it's as if God's begging. If only you'll go the way I've given you.
If they will, I love you, I wish you could this, and then I'll have however wants to think of that, right? This is machas from you doing. But we got to remember, before I understand it, when we said we can't handle it after the first two commandments, well, we saw sounds, we heard, you know, I mean, the experience was such that to recreate that on a regular basis, where everybody recognizes God's presence, even though it's supposed to be hardwired into us, to somehow reach where we could get a residue of that, that seems to be what the wish is, because otherwise, you know, because no one would sin at that point. You know, I mean, it would be like people describe messianic times, you know, like you have free will, but it's like we have free will to jump in a fire. You know, we're not going to do it. At Sinai, to do something against Hashem, seems like, would have been like that. So to wish that we would have that in our more day-to-day existence, it sounds like, you know, is a more beautiful wish, right? He wishes that we would have this understanding that what I gave you is for you, and it, you know, that's, you know, things get in the way of everything we talked about in the other room, you know, the day-to-day of stuff. It sounds like
what you're deducing is the next paragraph, which we'll see next week. You're a mash on target. That's the next paragraph. So we'll just finish this one, the final sentence. And that's what the verse also says. Hashem says, if only the people of Israel would listen to me and go in my ways, then in a second I'd put down, I'd subdue their enemies. And that's the essence of what God wanted with creating the world. That's what we say, the essence of the world is Yirat Shamayim. What does that mean? It doesn't mean to walk around being scared, oy vey, he's going to strike me with lightning. It means having that recognition, that relationship where one is in awe and one's behavior reflects that awe. One can be productive, one can be happy, but one will also lead a life that reflects a recognition of God's presence in the world. So what we saw today, we began with the quote of the seven fakers, and then Abaye and Rava said, well, he who fears Hashem from love and fear, he who serves Hashem, that's not such a bad faker because he'll get there. Mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. We asked, how come Rava told the student who fears God serves out of fear that he's a tzaddik, and here we're saying it's not so good? So the Ran said there's two types of fear. There's Yirat Shamayim, that he's scared of punishment, that his service of Hashem is all self-serving. He wants a good life, so he figures, let me do what's right. And that's the weaker kind, where we say a person should outgrow it. And then there's Yirat Shamayim, which is that a person comes to the recognition and engraves it in his heart that God is present. And that is the essence of the world. And that is what God says, I wish you can keep that up, so to speak. So I would just add one thought that Rav Soloveitchik points out. The recognition of God is something that it seems almost a contradiction, that sometimes one can look at the world and it feels so obvious, it's as though God is standing right next to him. And sometimes one can look at the world and he's looking and he's wondering, who said there's a God? Where? And the fact that we can fluctuate between these two approaches is one of the great challenges of Ma'amin. And that gives us a greater insight into what Hashem is saying at Sinai. Because Hashem is saying, you will have the capacity to lead a life that declares God, what God? Where do you see God? Show me where. We once had a student who came here. He was Jewish, but he didn't grow up with any religion. And he came into class. He made a joke. We said something about God. And he said, what flavor is God? So we looked at him like, what's he asking? He said, I don't know. I never tasted him. Did you taste him? What flavor? Is it bubblegum? Is it chocolate? So the guys looked at him. He said, oh, it's not. He's not a type of ice cream? What is he? What do you know about him? Show me. One can live a life where he's asking, what flavor is he, right? And on the other hand, sometimes it's so obvious. And that's part of our choice. Are we going to hold on to those moments where it's obvious? Or are we going to let them fall by the wayside and lead our lives with...
those moments for the moments when it's not obvious, which everyone, I think, has possibly.
Right.
You say the Kedusha, right? Kedusha, Kedusha, Kedusha. The whole world is full of glory. And then Baruch said, well, from this place, out there, where I don't feel him.
Yeah, that's another thought Rav Soloveitchik expands, right?
You're right. Yeah, right. Who was doing that on a short stage to give him credit. He taught me a little bit this year. But it's important, because if you latch on to the Yetzer Hara at those parts where he's not there, it's... Even your faker thing, I think that the example, it's harsh faker, because I think most of those people are faking themselves. It's not that they're being evil. You know, the guy who drives 10 miles out of his way to go to a supermarket where there's a male cashier because he doesn't want to go to the one where, even if it's somewhat modest, where there's a female cashier, it may be, you know, he says, look at me, I'm so biased, but maybe he really believes that he has a... issue in that area, and it's for him, it's worth it, or whatever. Maybe he needs some help in some ways, but you know. So I don't know if the faker kind of aspect is you're trying to fool others. But I think
right.
It's possibly very much that they're fooling themselves also.
Well, if it were just that, they wouldn't be so intent on having other people know. The issue
part
here is that
having other people know is to convince yourself. It's like the missionaries who aren't so sure that they're saved. But if they can convince you that you're safe, I must be right, I'm safe too. You know, sometimes people need that feedback from others. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah.